Every so often, we speak to market watchers outside of South Africa on global developments. We take a look now at developments in international economies and markets with London-based FXTM. I'm joined on the line by Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM. Thanks very much, Lukman, for joining us. So global markets with the main driver, United States, have been running up hard in recent weeks, and that's despite extremely negative real economy data. Is this the belief that there won't be a second wave of infections as economies get back, and that normalcy may come back sooner rather than later?
You're right. There is a tidal wave of optimism seems to be sweeping across financial markets, especially the U.S. economy, despite the stark fundamentals that we've seen. For example, more than 40 million Americans have filed for unemployment since the COVID crisis, and economic growth in the United States is expected to contract by more than 50%. So there is a massive disconnect, and it really makes me wonder that it's speculation. We have speculation over the worst being beyond us and the economy recovering faster than initially expected. It's what's really supporting markets. I don't think this is going to last, and I think as more data, you know, paints the reality of how things are, then investors will be dragged back to reality.
The ECB, the European Central Bank, they pulled out a big bazooka today. Christine Lagarde announcing an additional 600 billion euros. It's crazy money for their quantitative easing program. This is absolutely huge, of course. Surely there's no reason why the European economy should fail given that level of support.
Yeah, talk about monetary policy bazookas and massive fiscal time bombs. We have on one side the European Central Bank injecting an additional 600 billion in quantitative easing, and the European Commission approving a 750 billion, you know, emergency package. So with so much money, you wonder, you know, what could go wrong? But this goes back to what we were saying a few weeks ago, how the coronavirus, even though there's optimism, is a health crisis that will have lasting psychological impacts on consumers and businesses. I think it will take much more than lower interest rates and, you know, flooding the system with money for us to see that normality we saw before the crisis swept across the world.
Yeah. What do you think will happen? Say, for example, there's a lot of anticipation around a vaccine. If there's suddenly a vaccine at the beginning of next year, what happens? Is there going to be a very quick reversal of all of the stimulus that we've had, or it continues?
Absolutely. I think if there's a vaccine, this would offer the opportunity for central banks, especially governments as well, to, you know, reduce their lifeline they're putting to market. So we're going to see a gradual reduction in stimulus measures. But until we have a vaccine, I think the key thing that is, you know, keeping markets alive, keeping stock markets elevated and optimism high is just the stimulus measures. I think once they turn the taps off, we're going to be back to square one.
The UK continues to grapple with the coronavirus, with still a lot of deaths coming out from that country. And the Chancellor of the Exchequer there has indicated that a recession is very likely. How do you see the UK's prospects for the balance of this year? And what's happening on the Brexit negotiations front?
Yeah, staying in the UK, I think the sentiment is quite gloomy. We saw that growth contracted by 2% in Q1 and is projected to contract by anything between 30 to 40% in Q2. So if it is confirmed that we are indeed in a technical recession, this would be really bad for the UK economy, you know, for businesses. And this is even worse for Brexit, especially if it looks like the UK may be heading for a hard Brexit by the end of 2020. I think the biggest casualty here will be the British pound. The pound is still one of the weakest G10 currencies, and all this uncertainty and volatility will only push the currency lower. So I don't think I'm leaving the country anytime soon.
The last time we spoke, the oil price was in a pitiful space, but thanks to economies getting back, I guess one can expect that the positive momentum that we're seeing in the oil price will likely continue.
Yes and no. I think short term, we are going to see oil prices push higher, especially WTI crude probably test that $40 level. But it's going back to what we were saying before, how this is unsustainable and it's more speculative. As soon as, you know, the economic data feeds through and we see how badly the coronavirus has hit the world economy, I think this is really going to put a lid on oil prices. At the same time, let's not forget there are still, you know, escalating trade tensions between the two largest economies in the world. We have slowing global growth. And, you know, the threat, you know, as the IMF has said, that the world economy could experience a contraction not seen since a century. So there's a lot you know, on the table that's really going to limit the upside in oil.
Yeah, you know, just touching on what you're saying, it does look increasingly like President Donald Trump's back is up against the wall, especially with his internal issues and the way that he's handled the whole George Floyd issue. Do you think that he could become even more cantankerous, if I can say that, and create, you know, problems that affect all of us?
Certainly. So, sadly, the issue that we've seen in the United States is quite significant, and you know, impacts, you know, we've seen the rallies across the world. But now, the threat of this is it negatively impacting Donald Trump's approval ratings. And with the presidential elections in November, you know, the next target for Donald Trump to target, of course, would be China, because, you know, he needs to really push those approval ratings for him to have an opportunity to, you know, have a second term. So I think there's going to be more uncertainty. The markets are going to be more Trump, and we're going to see many things we probably wouldn't expect to see for the second half of 2020.
So what about the gold price? I mean, it's really been fluctuating in accordance with what's been happening with global markets. So when it's been a risk-off day, it's tended to gain in value, and the opposite when markets have gone into risk on mode. Is it likely to be steady as we go for gold bullion, or are there sufficient enough threats, I guess we've discussed them already, that could enable the gold price to maintain momentum going forward?
Yeah, gold has appreciated over 12% since the start of 2020. It's a good that's performed well, but I would have expected it to push higher given how there's so much uncertainty and, you know, many unanswered questions in the air. Moving forward, I think the outlook will be clouded by conflicting themes. On one side of the spectrum, we have trade tensions, as we've said, global growth fears, Brexit, and the lower interest rates, which are all positive for gold prices. But on the other side of the equation, there's this, you know, speculations of a, you know, faster than expected economic recovery. Probably the coronavirus would, you know, die out, and the dollar's valuation. So I think until we have clear direction, or there's a fresh directional catalyst in the picture, the outlook for gold, especially for the final month of Q2, is going to be quite uncertain.
So South African equities have got some decent attention of late, and valuations have generally been on a good upward trend, with the local currency also climbing from very serious lows before in recent weeks. How do you see the South African economy at the moment?
I mean, when we look at South Africa, economy is not different from other emerging markets as well. You know, they're all facing headwinds from this COVID crisis. But what I find that's really interesting with South Africa is there's a strong sense of optimism that the worst of the coronavirus may be behind. And this sentiment has been reflected in South African stocks, which have pushed higher. And if you look at the South African rand, it's actually held its ground against G10 currencies this week. It's performed quite well.
Yeah.
And this is despite the disappointing economic data we saw yesterday. We saw the PMI figures. It's one of the worst PMI figures South Africa experienced in history. It's the same theme here. You know, economic data remains abysmal, but it's all about speculations that the future is going to be bright. I think as the final trading month for Q2 gets in the way, it now becomes a question, especially in South Africa, of whether the central bank and government has actually done enough to, you know, they've exhausted all their tools in the fight against coronavirus, and whether this will be enough for South Africa to bounce back in the second half of 2020, and if not, probably 2021.
That was Lukman Otunuga. He's a research analyst at FXTM.